Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, we all want our kiddos to be involved in sports. We want them to be involved in team sports and individual sports because it really instills in them a sense of sportsmanship. It instills in them a sense of dedication and discipline. I have seen this with my son, who completely changed when he became a gymnast. I mean, his whole everything changed about him, not just his body, but his personality and his determination. So it's really an amazing thing. But one of the things we parents worry about is injuries, whether it is a sports injury or a concussion, or God forbid, we hear about sudden cardiac death in kids that are playing sports. It's also scary, but yet we want them to play. So how do we balance that out? My guest today is Dr. Rebecca Carl. She's an attending physician for the Institute for Sports Medicine at the Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. Dr. Carl, so glad to have you with us. As I said, my son is a gymnast, and I worry about keeping him safe when he's training and things. But tell us, what do you feel are the most important aspects of safe and healthy training for kids that are involved in sports?
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I just want to point out that in your intro, you mentioned that balance is a very important component of sports participation for children. And I think when we're thinking about injuries, that's something that's really important to consider. Overall, sports weigh heavily on the side of keeping kids healthy. We know that kids who participate in sports, they end up being healthier adults. And there's so many different benefits of sports, but we do want to try and minimize injuries when we can. So one thing that is something that's really been a new concept that we've been focusing on in the sports medicine community is the importance of having children do sport sampling, where they do a variety of sports. We think that children who specialize in a particular sport really early and commit to that sport at the exclusion of others actually have higher rates of injury and of burnout and overtraining. So that's one thing, is that especially for younger children, that they be encouraged to try all different kinds of sports, and that they have also that children have adequate rest during the year. So some sports, they go year-round now. We have children who, for example, participate in baseball 11 and a half months out of the year now that there's all these indoor training facilities, even in the cold Midwest where I live. And so we have kids who, they never really get a break. They're always doing conditioning or participating on a team for their particular sport. And we recommend that children get a month free of participation from organized sports throughout the year, and also at least one day off a week where they're not participating in an organized sport.
Yeah, easier said than done. And as I said, and I know that my daughter, with a lot of friends that play soccer year round, like you're saying, and we are seeing more of those chronic overuse injuries, but it's not so easy. I couldn't get my son to take it off. And I insisted. I said, you are not going for the next month. No gymnastics at all. And so, it is a little tougher if the kid is really dedicated to get them to not want to do it. It's not just the parents, right? It's the athletes, too.
Right. And for children, it becomes so much a part of their identity and their social circle. They're with their teammates year-round, and it's really hard for them to take a break. But it really is important that they have a time to wind down and rest. And it doesn't mean that kids can't do any physical activity. So when I say that a child should, for example, take a month off of basketball, it doesn't mean they can't go to their neighborhood playground and shoot some baskets with friends, but it's nice for the body to have a time to rest, and for children not have to have the commitment of organized practices and games. So I do think it's hard for kids, but I think it's important that all the adults involved, not just parents, but the leagues and the coaches support having a time of the year where kids are off of organized sports. But you're right, it's very difficult. So often coaches are saying, no, you have to come in to the gym and train year-round, or we might be out of season, but this is the time that we do conditioning. It really is difficult for kids to get a break from sports.
Well, it certainly is. Now, one of the things I mentioned in my intro is sudden cardiac death, and something that every parent fears, although it's not really that common. Tell us a little bit what it is, why it happens, and if there's any way that we can reduce the risk.
So sudden cardiac death means what it sounds like, which is that an athlete who's participating in a sport has a sudden death as a result of a heart condition. And as it turns out, it's actually fairly rare, especially in young people. The estimates range from about 1 in 200,000 to about 1 in 50,000, depending on the research study and the environment. But in high school students, it's probably in the range of about 1 in 100,000. So that's pretty unusual. As it turns out, even though we worry about this happening in our young athletes, when you look at a sporting event, so for example, a basketball game, the person who's most likely to have a person, one of the, or I should say the people who are most likely to have sudden cardiac death or sudden cardiac arrest are the adults, so the referees or the coaches, because heart disease is much more common in adults than it is in young people. That being said, when there's a sudden cardiac death, it tends to get a lot of press if it occurs in a young athlete because it's just so shocking as a community for us to see an athlete who's in the prime of his or her life, who seem to be completely healthy and really a perfect physical specimen, have this sudden thing happen out of the blue. So I think that these events, it's important that we think about ways to prevent sudden cardiac death, but in the scheme of things, the rate of that happening is very, very low. So within the sports medicine community, there's been a lot of debate about how to prevent this. And one strategy that some people propose is that children have more cardiac screening tests, especially an electrocardiogram or an ECG, done before they participate in sports. But the difficulty with that is that those tests generate a lot of false positives. What that means is that because sudden cardiac death is so rare, and having an abnormality on an EKG or ECG is very common, most of the kids who have an abnormality will actually not be at an increased risk of participation, and many of those athletes will be removed from play unnecessarily. So the current recommendations are that we do not do widespread screening with electrocardiograms. That being said, it is important to have a pre-participation physical, preferably done at what we call the medical home, so with a primary care physician who's familiar with the patients. And they can do a careful screening that includes questions about symptoms and family history and listen for things like heart murmurs and check for high blood pressure and things that might put an athlete at increased risk of sudden cardiac death.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydrolyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydrolyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. Well, what a great point and a good segue into the importance of that pre-participation sports physicals, which many schools are now requiring today. I know my kids' schools did. And interesting that it is a little bit questionable or controversial about the EKGs. Both my kids had it offered and we did it. I was like, what the heck? Why not? You know, I think it was like $10. And I don't know whether it gives us a sense of peace anymore or, you know, some security, but I was like, what the heck? They do it to me at my physical. So I figured, why not? And so what do you think that this is going to come to? Do you think that they're going to stop offering these things? Do you think it's going to become more mainstream? What do you think?
Well, there are recommendations that it's okay to do screening if it's in a setting where the athletes have where the screening program is really well organized and where the athletes have access to follow-up care should they have a positive EKG. I don't think that we'll see in the United States a movement towards requiring electrocardiograms for all athletes. And the reason is, so you point out that you have it done on your physical, but many of the research studies have looked at, have divided athletes or just individuals based on age. And so if we look at people who are 35 and over, we're much more likely to have coronary artery disease. And so a screening EKG is more likely to be helpful, because when you have a relatively high rate of a disease, then screening for it makes more sense. And it's sort of analogous to using mammograms to screen for breast cancer. So no one would recommend screening a 16-year-old for breast cancer with a mammogram, because the rate of breast cancer in that population is so low. But there's debate about should mammography begin at 40 or at 50 or at what age, as the risk of breast cancer becomes higher. And that's similar to heart disease, is that the rate of heart disease is very low in a younger population. Also, it's difficult because in children, how do you define an athlete? So many of the screenings that are required are just required for high school sports, but young people are very likely to be involved in extracurricular physical activity. So what about a dancer or a gymnast who maybe isn't part of their school team, but they're still doing intense physical activity, or even just the kids who are playing dodgeball on the playground? So I think there's a question of who do you screen, and also how do we utilize our limited medical resources to contribute to the health of the community? So that's where the debate comes from.
Well, what a great point. I mean, in everything from cheerleading, and, you know, we're learning more and more, but that's for another show, Doctor. That's for definitely another show, Dr. Carl. So tell us about healthy training in general. It's been hot this summer. Tell us about hydration, heat management. What would you like us to know about parents on the sideline not screaming at the kids while they're playing, or, you know, overuse and what? Tell us what you think are some important tips for good, safe training.
Well, you brought up the heat, and I think that's something that's really important to consider in the summer. So I live in Chicago, and I think people ignore the risk of heat illness here. We just had a heat wave that lasted about 2 days. And so for Chicagoans, the temperature getting into the high 90s is a relatively rare thing, but for somebody who's living in Arizona, that might not be such a big deal. But one of the things about heat is that you have to acclimatize to it. So for those of us who are in a climate where most of the time it's in the 70s and 80s and then it shoots up 15 or 20 degrees into the high 90s, we really need to be careful because we're not acclimatized to the heat. And I think it's important to keep that in perspective. And that's not to say that people who live in hot climates shouldn't also be careful, but for any athlete who's training in the heat, they need to really be careful and acclimatize slowly. So that might mean in a hot climate that the first day of practice is a very short practice, and then gradually kids increase their time in practice. Often for football, they have practices where kids are wearing lighter clothing and not wearing pads so that they have a chance to get used to the heat for their preseason conditioning and early season workouts.
Well, it's important because hydration goes along with that too, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then hydration is very important, is that young children should be given frequent water breaks. Actually, all children should be given frequent water breaks, but I think that sometimes young children are hesitant to step a coach and say, I need to have a chance to rest or to drink, so it's really important for younger kids in particular. And then there's a debate about things like sports drinks. So sports drinks like Gatorade and Powerade are examples of those. They do contain some salts, and the body loses salt through sweat during exercise, but they also contain a lot of extra sugar. And so for workouts, especially workouts less than an hour, we recommend that kids just be given plain water. Now, one advantage to the sports drinks is because they're so palatable, kids will often drink more of them, so it is a way to encourage drinking. But I think that when we're thinking about sports nutrition, we really want to make sure that we're not giving kids just empty calories in the form of sugar and through lots of sports drinks.
It's absolutely great information. Wrap it up for us. Your best advice about healthy training for our athletes and why it's so important that they cross train and get involved in other sports and take some of that time off and be mindful of the climate that they're training in and sports injuries in general.
Yeah, so I think it's really important for adults to look at what's our end goal for kids participating in sports. And I think there's some really important things about sports and physical activity participation. One is we want kids to be healthy, and we want them to get their heart rate up and be strong. We also want them to really have fun. And it's sometimes hard for kids to extricate themselves when they're in a really intense situation where the practices go throughout the year and there's never a rest. But I think it's important for adults to step in and say, hey, you know, you're having a great time, but I want you to try some other sports and activities. I want you to have some time to rest. So I think it's important that adults keep an keep their finger on the pulse of sports participation and make sure that things aren't getting too intense for their kids and that their kids are having a good time. And even though as parents we're really proud of our kids' accomplishments, it's important to keep the perspective that most kids are not going to go be professional athletes or even Division I college athletes, so that kids can really enjoy their sport and they can do sport sampling and try lots of different activities and have a good time and be healthy. They don't necessarily need to be participating all 12 months in the same sport throughout the year.
It's great information. Absolutely. Parents listening, play this show for your teen athletes, your little athletes, and for your friends, parents who really are convinced their kids are going pro, because as she said, it's not that common. It's pretty rare, pretty hard to achieve. So you want to keep your kids safe while they're training and make sure that it's fun for them so that they don't burn out, because that's what it's about. It's about learning good sportsmanship and team participation. So all of those things go together. And you heard this great information right here on Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics, the gold standard for our pediatricians. And we do love our pediatricians here at Radio MD. So please share these shows with your friends. You can listen on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeart, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are played. So we hope that you'll listen at RadioMD.com. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening and stay well.